the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I read an article this week, what the title is says, Do We Still Need Fathers? Do we still need fathers? Today, I would like to congratulate all of the fathers for accepting the vocation, the call of Christ to become fathers. But who do we still need fathers in our lives? Why do we need fathers in our lives? What is the purpose of the father in our life? Many of us maybe have experienced negative experience of fathers in our lives. And today I apologize for that. If our experience was not that great, the fathers being in our lives. Some of us experience also the missing of the presence of the father in our lives. And that has left in our lives a big void, a big space in our lives. So what is the role of the father in our life? Why do we need fathers? Why do we need husbands? In this time of technology where women can do a lot of things, that they can even conceive without the presence of a man, and I'm not going to go into detail, and all of the technology, when women today are, you know, surpassing men in everything, and they are very smart, and I want to say to the young men, women are very smart and capable of doing a lot of things. They really don't need husbands only to change the oil of the car. They don't need husbands just to remind them how to fix the plumbing in the house. They don't need husbands because to take out the trash when the trash day comes. Why do we need then fathers and husbands in our lives? I think in order to understand the meaning of this, to answer this question, we need to go back to the book of Genesis. We need to read the original creation. When God created everything, He saw that everything was good. But then there was something that is still lacking. And what is lacking is someone to reflect His image. His image in this creation. Someone who will take care of this creation, but also someone who will become His own image in this, what He has created, that He called His good. And then it says, God created in the chapter 1 of Genesis, Adam and Eve, both of them. In chapter 2, we have the second story of the creation, where God created Adam first, from the dirt. And then He put him to sleep because He saw that Adam was all alone. And it's not good for man to be alone. And that is something very important that we suffer in our society a lot from. Loneliness. Being alone. That being that person in our life. Especially in this time of disintegration of our society and our families. We're no longer... We live all close to each other. In the old times, when the father dies or the husband passes away, the whole family, the brothers, the sisters, they become the one who raise the children up. Today, people live all over. They are no longer living close to each other. People don't even know who some of their maybe uncles or aunts or relatives or whatever who they are, because we live at these long distances. But as we go back to the creation, the original creation, God created Adam, and then He saw that he was alone. So He put him to sleep. And then He took from his side, from his rib. He took a rib and made out of it Eve. That does not mean, my brothers, the men. Does not mean that woman is less than man. It means that woman is equal to man in everything. Why the rib? Why not some other parts of the body? Because in Mesopotamian, in the time that this myth, and this was written according to mythology of the Mesopotamian time, the rib is the closest part to the heart. The rib is the one that protects the heart. What protects our hearts when we have an accident? Our ribs. Our ribs are the first one that they will be crushed before our hearts get the hit. And so the ribs are the most important thing to protect the heart and to be closer to the heart, to be around the heart. Does not mean that woman is less than men. It is the teaching of the Orthodox Church that men and women are equal. I had a lady once come to me when we were about to do the crowning service, and the bride, she said to me, "Father, I want to ask you for a favor." And I said, "What is it?" "I would like you to remove the word that the man is the head of the woman, because that is very degrading for women. And I would like that you don't read that part." Well, in short sentences, my dear brothers and sisters, the man being the head of the woman, and it is a big thing for us in the Middle East, does not mean that he is the boss. And it's not true what the Greek movie is saying, that women are the neck. That is also not true how we believe and we understand it. Man being the head, St. Paul was speaking about creation, about him being the source. It is mad, you know, very badly translated into English or even into Arabic as head. But that means that he is the source of the woman, because he was talking about the creation, the original creation of man and woman, of man and woman, of Adam and Eve. And that's why he starts his letter by saying, "Submit to one another." So there is equality, although there is a different role in the family, that each one of them, the father and the wife and the mother, plays in the family. Let's go back again. Let's look into some of the examples of people who can give us inspiration to us fathers today. Let's look at three examples of people from the Bible that we can learn from them certain characteristics that we fathers need to have. The first one we need to look at is Abraham. Abraham, he believed. He believed in the word and the promises of God. What is the role of the father? A father is a believer. Is someone who believes in the promises of God. Is someone who believes when God tells him, "I will be with you." So Abraham becomes an example to all of us fathers as a person who believed in God, and because of his beliefs, he became the father of a great nation. So the first thing that we have established, the first thing we said, we need fathers because they are the image of God in our midst. We need fathers because they are the image of God in the family. We need husbands because they reflect the fatherhood of God in the family. And that is something very important. We need fathers with faith. Now we need to look into something else. Look at Moses. Moses was the father of the great nation of Israel. And Moses became also the father of the people of Israel. But he was a great leader. He accepted and followed the commandments of God and the call of God. And today we read that in the gospel. Follow me. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. It is one way of following Christ, is to be fathers. It is a vocation. It is a call. And also, you know about the spiritual fatherhood, the spiritual motherhood. But I'm not going to touch on that. It is the fatherhood that is called. It is a vocation. It is a way of calling. It is a way of following Christ. It is to be a father. We should be proud of being fathers. The greatest thing is to be an image of God the Father is given to us fathers. There is nothing so great in vocation as the husbands and fathers is to be a father, an image. And when we make mistakes, and we do make mistakes, we need to ask our children for forgiveness for that. You all know that none of us went to school to learn about how to be a father. You go to school to learn how to be a nurse. You go to school how to be an attorney. You go to school to be how to be a doctor. But we never go to school to be a fathers. You learn on your first one. You learn. You make mistakes. Then you learn on the second one. By the third and the fourth one, you have learned a lot of things. And that is how it is life. And then the elder people, they will help you. They will teach you. They will assist you. You call your mom and you say, but my baby is not feeling well. What should I do? And mom, she says, oh, do this. Put some oil on them. Say a prayer. I don't know. Give them a little bit of this or that. That's how we learn. It is us all together helping each other, helping our fathers, the young fathers, to be fathers. And I can't claim that I am experienced or I'm an expert. I've been married 26 years, almost. You know, I have 22 years old son. But still, I need to learn from those who are older from me, who have been fathers for 50 years, 60 years. How do you stay and be a father for 50, 60 years to your children? Because fatherhood never stops. It's not true that when they are 18, you want to tell them to leave. At least in the Middle East, we don't do that. In the Middle East, they get married and stay with you. And then they bring you the grandchildren. And then the great-grandchildren come back to you. And this never ends. It never really ends. There is no 18 for us. They are always with you. And they will always be with you. My wife, she tells my children, I can't wait until the grandchildren say, no, please, I don't want. I'm not ready yet for the grandchildren. Please don't tell them that, okay? I am not ready for that. Let's look into another example. So we looked at Abraham. We looked at Moses. We looked at the great person of the New Testament who is a great example of father. And that is Joseph, the betrothed of Mary. He was such a wonderful father. He accepted the call to be a father, protector of St. Mary, without even being the father himself. But he always accepted the will of God in his life. And that's something else, my dear brothers and sisters, you the fathers. Accept the will of God in your life. You cannot be a father and you still have dreams about having your own motorcycle. If you can, maybe. Or going on, I don't know, doing what. My son, he says, one day, Dad, when I become an engineer, I'm going to buy you a motorcycle. Because, you know, I love motorcycles. I can't afford it. I can't afford buying a motorcycle right now and raise them and send them to college. So I have to wait. You have to wait on that. You have to sacrifice. You have to do the will of God in your daily life, in what you have to do. What it takes from you day in, day out. And that is the most difficult thing to do every day. That's why love is a choice. It's a choice that we make every day when we wake up and we make the sign of the cross. I want to love my wife and my children today. I make that decision. Love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Love is not just something that comes through. That's when people ask me, what is love? I hesitate. I don't answer. Because I have entered into the school of love 26 years ago and I'm still learning. I'm still growing in it. I'm still changing. I'm being changed by the school of love for 26 years. You have to mature, mold and change and grow up in order for you to enter into this school, into this life. That's why there is a book, it's called Marriage is a Path of Holiness. For both of you, you know, is a path to holiness. Marriage is a way of changing us. If we don't change, we leave. We can't handle it. You have to change. Fathers need to change. Mothers need to change. So Saint Joseph becomes a great example. I just want to mention something from the service. And I don't know how long I have been talking. So I'm going to end with this one because I haven't even started reading my notes. So Father John might never ask me again to preach if I do this today. Say, never again this man will preach here. So we will say, okay. Let's look into the service, into just a couple of things that we can learn from the service about relationship, about marriage. And then we conclude by congratulating all of our fathers for this great vocation that God has given to us. Some of the things that I read in the service, that anytime you fathers and mothers, you have any hesitation about your vocation, go back, pick up the book, and read the crowning service, the Orthodox crowning service. Read through it. It tells you what you are supposed to do. The crowning service tells you exactly what your vocation is and my vocation is as father and husband. And there are a lot of beautiful things, if you allow me to just read some of them, because we need to continue with the liturgy. That they will preserve them, that he will preserve them in oneness of mind and in steadfastness of faith. Let us pray to the Lord, it says here. This oneness of mind is repeated over and over in the service. It's amazing. I went through the whole service this week. And it's repeated over and over. One of the most important characteristics of a father is to be one with his wife. And the wife to be one with her husband. Never ever, if the father says something, the mother should break his word. Don't ever do that. Even when it is wrong, talk to him alone. When you close your doors of your room, talk to him alone about it. But never, never you break the word of your husband or the father in front of the children. No matter what it is. I hope it is nothing, you know, that bad. So this oneness of mind, it repeated over and over in the service. And then it says, bless them with blameless life. We are called into holiness of life. It says about, and make their bed undefiled. It is very important for us, who are husbands and wives, to know just because you are married doesn't mean everything goes. No. There are things that the church teaches that are acceptable and unacceptable. And that Christ tells us about it. My dear brothers and sisters, the service is a beautiful service. I had a lot of things, you know, it says honorable marriage. I want to say one more thing and then we conclude. It says something that I love very much. For the prayers of the parents is the foundation of homes. Parents, pray for your children. Parents, pray for your children who are married. Every day, make that to be your prayer in the morning and at night. Make sure you pray for your children who are married. Because the foundation of the homes depends on the prayers of the parents. It's amazing. The words are beautiful. I love them. There are a lot of beautiful words. And the epistle, we can talk about it some other time. You know, that's a whole other maybe class. Actually, I took in seminary 15 classes about what means the head. You know, for the man is the head of the woman. So we can talk if you want to go into depth into that. One day we can do those kind of things. I want to congratulate all of you fathers for accepting this vocation of being fathers. Do not hesitate to be the father in your home. Be the leader. Be the image of Christ. Be the one who prays with his family. That's why they put the crowns of you, because you became the king and queen of your family. You should lead. You became the priest who leads your family in prayer in at home. You should lead your family in prayer. You should stand together in front of the icon and pray. You should be the father who does these kind of things with his family. You are the one who have the faith to encourage your children when they cannot continue. You are the one who is the one who believes, who follows the commandments of God, who loves God, who reflects the image of God to other people. Fathers, be fathers. Let's ask today our Father who is in heaven. In a few minutes we're going to say, our Father who art in heaven. That he may make us worthy to be truly images of him on earth, to be truly images of him on earth, to be truly fathers, to be kind, loving. The perfect and the most beautiful is the prodigal son. Read the story of the prodigal son. How the father was. That's something else also. There you can see how the father is, the prodigal son. and the father relating to the prodigal son. That's how we need to be to our children. Merciful, kind, patient, loving. And when we fail, we should ask for forgiveness. We should say, forgive me to our children for not being the perfect father. May God, through his grace and help of the intercession of the Theotokos, help us all fathers to be truly the image of his son and our father in heaven. Amen. God bless you.